Leanne, doesn't a miracle always happen between Wednesday and Sunday? Have you ever heard the expression flash in the pan? That's someone who has a sudden or brief success that's never repeated or repeatable. It's kind of a one and done thing, right? Well, the phrase comes from the California gold rush. Now, prospectors who panned for gold supposedly became excited when they saw something shiny in the pan. Anyone watch Gold Rush, right? You're always looking for those sparkles in the pan, right? Well, they had their hopes dashed when it proved to be not gold, but just a flash in the pan. Fool's gold, which looks great until you actually test it and realize it's nothing but crappy iron, right? It's not gold at all. And even though it looks wonderful up front, you don't really get any money for it. Have you ever had a flash in the pan kind of time in your life? Anyone a one and done? You had your one moment of glory. Maybe you were that high school quarterback, right? You had that one moment of glory some Friday night, and then that was it forever. I think we're all kind of that way, most of us, just kind of flash in the pan kind of people. Never able to really and truly be the best and the brightest and the strongest and the most enduring forever. Maybe for a season or a period or a momentary time in our life. And then it's kind of back to business as usual. Brief flashes of glory, and then we're kind of back to being obscure. And that's the depressing truth about us and our lives. Just a collection of flashes of glory and then ordinariness. As scripture says, beauty fades, strength fades, wisdom fades. But God, well, that's different. God never fades or weakens or lacks wisdom or power. And then there's Jesus, God in human flesh, the one about whom Hebrews says this: here I am, I have come to do your will, earlier in the book. And by that will, we have all been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus Christ, the one true one and done. Jesus Christ, the one true one and done for our sake and not a flash in the pan. We are ordinary. God in Jesus Christ is extraordinary. Bible says that in the dual role of high priest and sacrifice, he was one and done. He acted, as Hebrews said, that Sue read, he acted as high priest once and was done. He offered a sacrifice once himself and was done. Now, typically, the temple priests were never one and done. They were always acting as priests and always offering sacrifice for sins, including their own sins first. So Jesus' one and done priesthood, as is talked about here in Hebrews, is unusual. And no priest had ever offered himself as a sacrifice. It would have been pointless, because for a sacrifice to be perfect, it had to be without blemish. And no human being has ever been without some blemish. Yes, I know, even for those of you who like to think you're, how does Mary Poppins put it, practically perfect in every way, none of us really and truly are. No human, priest or otherwise, has been perfect, because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as Paul says in Romans. But then came God in Jesus Christ, and Jesus qualified. He was a perfect sacrifice, spotless and without blemish, the one and done priest, the one and done Savior, a single sacrifice for sins, says Hebrews. Jesus came to us once and was done, died once and was done, raised once and was done. Jesus lives and reigns for us at the right hand of God, not once, but always. Hebrews uses images of sacrifice to make their points, and it's throughout the book of Hebrews. It's an odd book, and that seems very odd to us today, right? We don't practice animal sacrifice, but to the readers of Hebrews, it was normal. The animal on the altar prepared for sacrifice is Christ. The priest entering the most holy place is Christ, returning to his place with the Father. The blood that the priest brought into the most holy place is Jesus' blood. Pretty standard stuff. You've learned that over and over again. But what do we do with that? Well, the writer says, first, let's hold fast. I like to use the phrase, hang on hard to our faith. Our salvation is priceless because it cost Christ his life. So let's hold on fast to our faith in Christ Jesus without wavering, as Hebrews puts it. Have you ever thought that your salvation is priceless? Right? Sometimes I think we take it for granted and don't give it a second thought, but it is indeed priceless. We first and foremost come to Christ, and Christ suffered and died for our sins. So let's be clear about who we are and who we are not. Who we are precious children of God, our God who chose for no other reason than out of pure love to offer himself as a sacrifice for us. Who we are not is abandoned or left to our own devices to try and find salvation through our own sacrifices. We are confident in our forgiveness. Now, Linda, you asked this question so perfectly this morning to the kids. I'm confident in my forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Are you confident in your forgiveness in Jesus Christ? And then the author goes on to remind us that because Jesus has done that once for always sacrifice and has entered the holy place, as Hebrews puts it, we can approach God himself without the benefit of some earthly mortal priest between us and God. God is approachable, and we will not be struck down dead if we are so bold as to enter into the presence of God. We are confident in God's love for us. And we can remember that God is faithful, that God will do what God has promised. We can be confident in God's faithfulness towards us. So what do we do with that confidence? Does it end there? Oh, cool, I'm confident in my salvation, great. End of story. No, we can offer ourselves as living sacrifices as Christ offered himself. The Apostle Paul says in Romans, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, confident that that is God's plan for our lives. But more importantly, as you keep reading in this passage from Hebrews, we learn that the foundation of Jesus' one and done ministry should help us inspire other people to do loving things. And that's where that odd word, I'm with you, Linda, when I hear that word provoke, I don't think of it in a positive way at all, right? I don't like to be provoked. You can poke me, you can spur me on, you can, what else? Call forth something in me, but don't provoke me. But we're called to be provokers of each other in the most positive way, to love and do good works by encouraging one another. So now you know the reason you come to church, to provoke one another and to be encouragement for each other. Why don't we encourage one another more often? Is it because we don't have enough time? Or it's not part of our nature? Is it because we're so lacking in confidence that we can hardly keep ourselves pumped up, much less trying to pump someone else up? There are lots of ways in which we might encourage one another. Anyone have any ideas how we can encourage each other? Well, let me ask it this way. Have any of you ever been encouraged by a fellow church member? Sue? So we encourage by praying for each other. Anyone else? How do we encourage each other? Or have you been encouraged by someone here at church? I'm sorry, Judy.
By cooking for one another.
Cooking for one another, absolutely, right? Anyone else? How have you encouraged each other?
Kind words.
Kind words to each other. Anyone ever been encouraged by someone here? I know you, Linda.
The kind notes people write.
I was thinking the same thing with me. Kind notes that somebody sends me or a kind word after church. When things are kind of and you kind of need that pickup or one of these, right? That it really helps to have that encouragement. How else have you been encouraged by fellow church members?
Welcoming
new people, absolutely.
Being invited to join a committee.
Not too many people call that encouragement, Nancy. But I... Absolutely. Or when you are called and elected to be a deacon or an elder or to be on the foundation board, that you are being encouraged, that people see in you through the Spirit more than maybe you see in yourself. Jane, I think.
When people approach you and say, welcome back, you miss you.
And that's been so important these past so many weeks, or months, or years, or however long it's been at this point, right? That they encourage you and say, I missed you, and I'm glad you're back. Anyone else, how have you been encouraged? How about after the death of someone? Have any of you ever been encouraged as you go through your grieving process by your fellow church members who have been there for you and who ask how you're doing and check in on you and help you to get through your days? Why do we provoke in a good way each other? We also provoke each other in a bad way. That's a different sermon at another time. Why do we do it? Partly because that's who we are called to be as followers of Christ, but more importantly, I think, that we hope in turn that they will be provoked into passing that on, into sharing the blessing they received from one of you to somebody else. And you know what? Before you know it, we're all blessed and we're praising God confidently and boldly in God's presence. And you know, that kind of loving and blessed community, and that's what it is, a blessed community when we practice blessing one another. That's possible only because of that one and done Savior that we have and his selfless act of sacrificial love. That's our basis for the loving actions that we show to each other. And so we can approach God in confidence. But that way of living, that ain't a one and done kind of living. We can't say, well, okay, I was kind to one of my fellow church members this morning. Oh, I'm done with that. No more to do that. Jesus was one and done. We are not. And don't forget that. We are not one. We're a community. And we're never done. Never done provoking and never done encouraging each other to greater acts of love and service to God's people. We keep loving and giving until what? Until Christ returns, or we go to be with Christ. And because of our one and done Savior, we can do that in all confidence, bold to love, bold to serve, bold to build each other up with confidence in our faith. Amen.